Good morning. It is 8:18 and you are listening to Raven Radio. Joining me this morning to talk about the Sitka Fellows program, I have Tully McLaughlin and Bess Young. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Molly.
Thank you for joining me. So, Tully, you are the facilitator of this program, but you're also a co-founder of Sitka Fellows, and it's a relatively new program.
It is. We're in our second summer, so we're still in that tender adolescent sort of building period where all the major growth takes place, and you have to prove out your concept. You have to prove that you're not just you're serious about what you're doing, and it has sort of real purpose in the world.
Have you been challenged?
It's a huge challenge to create a fellowship and give it authority, give it real standing. And I think a lot of that comes from reaching out to and attracting talented people to come and be here. And the hardest part is just starting. So we're one summer under our belt. We've learned a tremendous amount from last summer. We had seven stellar fellows. And this summer, we're only a week in. And gosh, it's going to be really fun, I think. I hope for the community to follow.
And is this part of the Sitka Fine Arts Camp or Sitka Fest? Are you under that umbrella?
In a way, we use the space on the Sheldon Jackson campus. Right now, the space is donated to us, which significantly reduces our project costs. And Jonathan Christ Tompkins, who's the state representative for the area and was a student to Roger Schmidt on cello as a child. So those kind of connections are indelible, right? He was also one of the co-founders of the program, being a Sitkin himself. So those links are in many ways fluid, I think, in Sitka, the links between artistic programs and the community. But like the Fine Arts Camp, we use the Sheldon Jackson campus. It's sort of the clearest link. We're one of the programs that during the summer adds to the artistic life of the campus.
And you are from the East Coast, and do you feel it's important to import folks to Sitka? Wasn't there a more central location that you could have people together?
Sure, yeah. There are plenty of more central locations, but anyone who's been here for more than one cruise ship stop knows that there's a magic to this place. And to come here and to live here for a couple weeks, there really is, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to get away from the life you're living in. A lot of these folks are living in larger, American metropolitan areas. And to go to, let's all meet in Chicago, is sort of less of a retreat, less of a project-oriented retreat than coming to a beautiful place like this.
And lucky for us, Bess Young here is a Sitka Fellow. And are you enjoying Sitka?
Yes, very much. We just arrived last Wednesday and for the first 2 days went camping in the Samson cabin and got to see some beautiful sights on our way over there. And then since coming back and settling in on the Sheldon Jackson campus has just been ideal.
And what sorts of things are you hoping to work on here in Sitka?
I am a photographer, and I'm working on a photo and video project focusing on the same theme I've been focusing on for the past 5 years, a little bit more, which is aging. And specifically, this project is about memory and aging. I am interviewing older women. I've been working on this project in Belfast and interviewing elderly women with Alzheimer's and dementia. And I've been doing a separate portion of the project that involves memory in the landscape and trying to look at the links between memory gaps that just young people have with healthy memory and the memory gaps that someone with Alzheimer's or dementia has to help younger people understand and empathize with the elderly.
And what makes this subject attractive to you?
I think it's a subject that's overlooked, and it's one that people shy away from. And I have a unique comfort that I'm blessed with that comfort. So I think that if you are comfortable with a difficult topic, that's an area you should really pursue and help other people I deal with, and I deal with it myself through the artwork.
And as a photographer, you're always looking at composing a shot. Is there a different approach to composing a shot when you know so much backstory about someone as opposed to just portraits of, you know, everyday folks or just sort of random shots around and about town?
Absolutely. I think a criticism of photography and something that I struggle with photography a lot is whether or not taking a photo of someone is exploitative. And if you're just taking that shot, what is the context? Why are you taking that shot? What will it be used for? And what is the message that that shot delivers when it's, especially in the digital age, when you just get photos out of context? And I try to understand a person as a whole, and I'm more interested in capturing a feeling or a moment or a person than I am in getting that stellar shot. And that's why I've been using a lot of video, because I feel like running a video and sort of capturing someone talking and listening and leaving that open space for them to be who they want to be is less objectifying than sort of just taking a picture and walking away.
Is it difficult to find people to cooperate with you? And I mean, there must be a little bit of cultivating a relationship before even getting someone willing to be on camera. Maybe not so much the subject, but maybe the family.
Absolutely. I think depending on the place that I'm in too, there's all sorts of restrictions as far as laws, consent, the actual institution, and you want to make sure that everyone is comfortable with what you're doing. And the fact that it's a long-standing project that I've been working on, or a love that I've had for a long time, I think goes a long way in showing people that I care about the elderly and I care about these issues, and this is a project that wants to put those things in a positive light. So being able to show that work, I think, goes a long way in assuring people that I'm doing my best not to be exploitative.
It's interesting, we're using the word comfortable quite a bit. Have you always been comfortable calling yourself a photographer?
No. It might even be a little presumptuous to call myself a photographer at this point. I am a struggling student / artist / figuring it out. I think that I was interested in art to begin with, and a professor in university really influenced me, and I started to pursue photography, and it ended up being perfect for this subject matter because it does have that documentary aspect to it. So it's not quite as abstract. I am taking from real life and showing real people, but trying to create a bigger, stronger message with that.
So Tully, I mean, it's a real treat to have Bess here. What are some of the other Sitka fellows bringing to the table here in Sitka?
Well, luckily, we will hear firsthand in the coming weeks. We've got Bess doing photography, we've got a playwright, we've got a novelist, we've got someone who's doing a sort of art film essay, we've got an illustrator, the list goes on. I will be back and help facilitate these interviews, I guess, in some sense, but it's so exciting, and I think that I hope there will be opportunities for the Sitka community to meet some of the fellows. And, Bess is just the first. There are more to come. They'll be here on KCAW.
And how long will the Sitka fellows be here in town?
Through the end of August, the last day of August. So I think last or second to last day, we'll have an open studio event that people can hear more about. But that'll be the feature of all the work that's been done in this time.
Well, I think the listeners look forward to meeting more of the Sitka Fellows. Bess and Tully, thank you for joining me this
morning. Thanks, Molly.
Thank you.